All right, let's get into this tonight. So I'm going to begin something new. I shared with you all, I think, at some point in the last month or so of the last calendar year on a Sunday or at some point, that I was kind of focused this year on the concept of the Messiah. You know, and when we use the word Messiah, you know, that's a Bible word, but it's a word that's usually connected with you know, the Jewish people. They think, you know, in terms of that, because all through the Old Testament, the Jews have an expectation of a Messiah. We understand that when Jesus came along, we understand Jesus to be the Messiah that was promised. They did not recognize him. They did not accept him as their Messiah, but they will someday. There's going to come a day when it's going to be that. So with this kind of the thought, I've been working off of that theme, and we're going to be actually doing a lot of looking at some Old Testament scriptures and some Old Testament practices that really point to the Messiah. We're going to be looking at what the Jews were being taught in the Old Testament that should have pointed them to Jesus when he came, but didn't. But at the same time, there are also going to be some of the things that we're going to find. We can take the lessons from that, and it helps us as we look forward to his next coming. You follow me? So in other words, they're going to help us to understand his when Jesus is, you know, coming. And again, I at Christmas Eve, if you were here for the Christmas Eve service, I ask everybody to, you know, to just sort of, you know, what if we lived this year? What if we decided to live this year as if last Christmas was the last one? You know, what would it change in our lives? What would we do differently with our family? What would we do differently with our friends? What would we do differently with our church? What would we do differently in our community if we actually lived like we believed that Jesus was going to come back in 2022? Wouldn't it be a great thing if he did? Maybe, I mean, would this kind of be a nice time for Jesus to come and put an end to this mess? Sure would. Now, as I said on Christmas Eve, if he doesn't, but we live our lives this year as if we believe he's going to, the worst case scenario, we come to next Christmas Eve and we're all still here and we've just simply lived a great life for a year. Is that such a bad thing? Not at all. So anyway, that being said, we're going to be looking at a lot of this Old Testament stuff. So I want to begin tonight with a series that I'm entitling, It Is Finished. Now, can anybody tell me where this expression comes from? Jesus on the cross. This is the last thing Jesus said when he hung on the cross, just before he died. This is what he said. But what I want to focus on is that first word there, it. When Jesus said, it is finished, what was he talking about? Let's take a look at the scripture first, and then I'll let you weigh in on that. John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. It is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. And so the question that I said I was going to begin with tonight is, when Jesus said, it is finished, what was he talking about? Dave, you want to say something?
Yeah.
The curtain was torn in half then, yes, from the top to the bottom. God reached down and tore the curtain in half. And
the Jewish law was abolished.
Okay. So you think it refers to kind of the old system of religion?
Yeah, the old
could?
System went out,
could?
The new system came.
What else could it be here? Christine.
An account paid in full.
Whose account?
Ours.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Jules. His father's work. That's interesting. You see, his father's work. Okay. He did say, I come to do my father's work and will. Okay. So a lot of people would look at this and say, well, Jesus was talking about his, you know, the crucifixion. All right. So in other words, this process I'm going through right now, it's finished. And then he died. And some people might think it's talking about his earthly ministry, maybe, or his earthly life. But the truth is, all those things we talked about, it is actually much, much bigger than that. When Jesus said, it is finished, he was talking about something that had begun 4,000 years prior to that. It was something very, very, much, much, much bigger than that. In fact, let me just give it to you the way that I wrote it in my notes, and you probably have it on your study guide. The it was the entire plan of redemption brought on by the fall, that's the fall of man into sin, after the creation. So you want to fill that in, and we're going to kind of work through that tonight. It was the entire plan of redemption brought on by the fall after the creation. Let me put it this way. If you're familiar with your Bible, all right, if you got your Bible, you get your Bible out on January 1st, how many of you, let me just ask you, how many of you, you decide at the beginning of the year, you're going to try to read your Bible through in a year's time? Did anybody do that in this room? Nobody reads their Bible. Okay. So, no, I get it. A lot of people do. A lot of people like to take, the schedule, they try to read through. And what I find in most people, myself included, they read through Genesis and it's like, yeah, this is good stuff. I mean, you got all these stories, you got a flood, you got all this stuff going on, and you get to Exodus and you got all these plagues and that's pretty cool. And God judging Israel. And then you get, boom, like in the middle of Exodus, suddenly you get to these laws. And God starts talking about the call of the liver and, this weird stuff that they have to sacrifice. And it's sort of where we sort of skip that and skip Numbers and all that and get back into the stories, But if you're familiar with that, when you begin to read through Genesis chapter 1 is that overview of creation, or recreation rather, where God remade the earth after it had become void and all of that. And chapter 2, he starts talking a little bit more detailed about man and the garden and all of that. And then we come to chapter 3. And Genesis chapter 3 is where we find the serpent. He comes to Eve Eve, and Adam and Eve, we know, they fall into sin. And then from that point on, from Genesis chapter 3 all the way through, virtually all through the Gospels, the end of the Gospels, that whole story from that point forward is all about one thing, and that is a plan of redemption. It's a plan of redemption. Everything we read about in the Old Testament, All the phases that God's people go through, it's all about a plan of redemption. Now, I got to be honest with you. I don't know that anybody can say, why did that plan have to take so long? Why 4,000 years? Why is it so complex? I just had this conversation with the family that I'll be ministering to tomorrow night at the funeral, and it was explained to me because it kind of came up where one of the young men said, "Well, I just don't, the Bible was, people talk about, the Bible does this and Bible says this." I said, well, "Wait, time out. The Bible is a huge book. It is an enormous book. You really can't say the Bible says unless you're going to be very specific." Because the Bible says a lot of stuff. And that the entire Old Testament, you've got all of those books of history, the judges and histories and then Psalms, and you've got all the prophets and all the kings, and you've got all these things. It is a very, very complex story, isn't it? You think back through all of the feasts and the holy days, all those laws, all the strange things God asked men to do. Sacrificing animals and wearing certain garments and doing certain things on certain days and all this stuff. It's a very, very complex story. But here's the thing. If God chose to make it such a long and complex plan of redemption, isn't it kind of our duty, since we're the recipients of it? It's all about us, right? I mean, it's all about mankind redeeming us, buying us back. Isn't it kind of our duty then to try to understand? Is that you, Beverly?
No,
that's
not.
You, isn't it, Beverly? It's not Beverly? It's you, Jules?
No.
Huh? Carl? That's two dozen donuts, big boy. All right. So we need to try to understand these things. And let me just kind of give you a look ahead. So here's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be finding that all of those key components, every one of them, every one of those feasts, every one of those holy days that get so muddy and so complicated as we read the Old Testament, they all actually are a piece of a roadmap that's pointing to the Messiah. It's a remarkable thing that the Jews missed Jesus because every single component in their history, every single book of the Old Testament, every single story that we love to tell. It's all a part of one big roadmap that is pointing directly to a coming Messiah. So that's what we're going to learn. That's where we're headed. So let's get into it. Let me begin tonight then with the first principle that we want to talk about is something called the Sabbath. The Sabbath. Now, here's what I want to focus on tonight. I think we all have a concept. In fact, let me just ask you, what is the Sabbath? Somebody just tell me very quickly, what's the Sabbath?
Day of rest.
Day of rest. What day is it? Yeah, it depends on how you call it. I mean, it's really Friday night into Saturday night. You know, from Friday night at sundown to Saturday night. So it's kind of, we kind of call it Saturday. In fact, the word Saturday in other languages actually comes more from, like in Spanish, it's a sábado, and it comes from the word Sabbath. It means seventh, the seventh day, right? But here's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to ask you tonight, what was the Sabbath originally? Not what we know it as today, not even what the Jews think of it as today, but what was it originally? Where do we first hear about the Sabbath? Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. Notice, "And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made." Now, we find that that's the concept of the Sabbath, yes? That seventh day, that's what the word means. It will become called the Sabbath 2,000 years later. We won't see this again for 2,000 years. It's not very much in the Bible. It's actually just just a couple of books later. But what we find is the concept of the Sabbath is something that God did in chapter number 2. In fact, instituting this day of rest is kind of the first thing God did after he completed the creation. So he rested. We'll talk about what that means here in just a minute. He wasn't taking a nap. All right. So where do we see it next? Well, we see it next in Leviticus chapter number 23. It actually gets put into the law that God gives to the Israelites when they're out in the wilderness, and he gives them what we know as the law. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, that's your cue to move slides. Speak unto the... This is kind of a body language. Speak unto... Thank you, Joe. Speak unto the children of Israel and say to them concerning the feasts of the Lord. Notice, we're going to come back to that in coming weeks. Which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. Now watch verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the, and there's the word, the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Now, what I want us to notice is the concept of the Sabbath actually came before the law. It was instituted into the law, and we're going to talk tonight about why. Why did God make it a part of the law? And I'll just give you a little preview here. The Sabbath we see right here in this verse in Leviticus 23 is not exactly the same as what we saw in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 2. So although we are not commanded, let me just be clear, we are not commanded as Gentiles. It doesn't really have anything to do with Christian as much, but as Gentiles, we are not commanded to observe the Sabbath the same as the Jews are. But I also don't think we should dismiss the principle or the purpose of it. Because remember, God actually gave it before the law, before there even was a Jewish nation. So what is that principle? That principle is simply, or the purpose is simply this. Why did God give the Sabbath? Why did God have the original Sabbath? And why does he incorporate it into the law as a day of rest? It's simply this. It is a dedicated time that God wanted to fellowship with his creation. God wants to fellowship with his creation. Child of God, God wants to fellowship with you. Amen. He wants it. He wants it so badly that he instituted something that became a part of the law for the Jewish people. That's you now. Well, it's a night for phones. Yes. Now, all right, so what does the word Sabbath mean? Well, somebody said it already. The word Sabbath means rest. The word Sabbath means rest. But it's not like we see it. I think here's what we picture. We picture God has, you know, God recreated the world, and he made the grass, he made the trees, he made the whales, he made all this stuff, and then he sat down because he was exhausted. And he said, I have got to rest. Well, that's not really what it means. Let me ask you this. Let me illustrate it this way. You know, what does it mean when God said he wanted to rest? What do you do when you invite somebody to your house? When you invite somebody to your home, they're your guests, you bring them in the door, what do you tell them to do? Tell them to sit down, don't you? You tell them to sit down. You take off your shoes? You tell them to come in, and you want them to sit down, right? Why? Is it because they've been on a 10-day journey and they're exhausted and they're about to pass out? No, they're not tired, right? What is it about bringing them into your home and everybody sits down? What does it do? It allows you to fellowship, doesn't it? It takes away all of the physical distractions. Have you ever had to stand in one place for very long? When we went to Israel, that was the worst part of the Israel tours. If you ever go, you know, go with a bunch of old people. Seriously. Because the guides are usually pretty good about not making them stand for very long. But it's hard to stand in place for very long, isn't it? And it's hard to focus on somebody. If you all had to stand up for this entire service, would you come? No. No, or yes. So, yeah, you know, there's something about sitting down and resting, not because you're tired, but because it takes away all of the things that would keep you from being able to just fellowship. That's what the word means. It actually means to abide, or it comes from a word which means to abide with. So when God rested from all his work, this is really, really important. Please don't miss this. So when God rested from all his work, what he did was he sat down to fellowship with his creation. That's what it means. He completed the work. You know, it's kind of like this. God didn't create the world for no reason. For no purpose. He wanted someone, some things, and that even includes the animals. That includes nature. God wanted a creation that he could fellowship with. So that's what he did. He's kind of expressing that life has really two components. And I think this is important for us to all remember. There are really two components, really, to life. One is work. Amen goes there. Not everybody. One is work, and the other is enjoying the fruit of our work. Yeah. Think about it. Isn't that what life's supposed to be about? Tom, you don't go to work just for the sake of going to work, do you? No. You go to work so that you can then provide a way to enjoy the rest of your life. So you have a home, and you have some things to do. You have a family, and you have food to eat, and you have a video game you like, right? This is why you work. And this is why God worked. He created, don't miss this, he created, the creation was done. The creation was over. And then he sat down, or he then put himself in a place to then enjoy his work, to fellowship with his work. Now, who can tell me what that day was called? After he created everything in how many days? Six. He created everything in 6 days. What was the seventh day called?
Sabbath.
God's plan for the Sabbath originally was simply, I'm done. The work is done. Now I can enjoy my creation. So let me make a couple of really, really important points. Well, let me ask you these questions. So we know that as day seven, yes? So let me ask you, what was supposed to happen on day eight? we think, and for us, well, that's it. You go back to work, right? Wait a minute. Did God go back to work? Did God start creating again?
No.
So what was supposed to happen on day eight? Why do we think that, by the way? We'll get to that. Because the Sabbath has changed. The original Sabbath, day eight, what was supposed to happen? Talk to me. I'll give you the answer. Exactly the same thing as happened on day seven. Day eight was supposed to be a rest also. So was day nine, and day 10, and day 50, and day 6,000. Listen, please, this is so important. We miss this because we have this Leviticus view of Sabbath, but the first Sabbath was supposed to be permanent. It was supposed to always be God fellowshipping with his creation. That's how it was supposed to be. How do we know this? Well, see, God recreated the world and then he rested and he wanted it to be permanent. And we know this because he created Adam and Eve. And what do we find out about the relationship with God, between God and Adam and Eve? Well, there was some work that Adam and Eve had to do. I mean, they were going to do, but it wasn't hard work, was it? In fact, who can tell me what was it like for Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall? Super dope, is that what you said? At first I thought you said smoking dope, and I thought, no, that's not it. Yeah, I mean, what was Adam's job? I mean, when we say take care of the garden, he said dress and keep it. You know, basically it was pick the fruit. Remember the description in the Bible of the garden? Everything grew on its own. There weren't weeds to pull. There weren't rows to hoe. There wasn't that kind of thing. They didn't have to carry water. There was a river ran through the thing. A mist went up and watered everything, the Bible says. Man's work, Adam's job basically was name the animals. Sounds like a game show. Let's play name the animals. So that was really the extent of it. And then we know that every single day, or seemingly every single day, now we don't know how long it took for man to mess up. But here's what it looks like normally would happen. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Here's what was normal. Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Time out. What was God doing? Walking, yes. Yes, walking in the garden, yes. But why? He was coming to see them. He was walking in the garden to talk and fellowship with Adam and Eve. When he came this time, they were not where they usually are. Why? Because they hid themselves. They hid themselves. How did they know to hide themselves? Because they knew God was going to come and want a fellowship with them. See, this is what life was supposed to be for Adam and Eve, just like the beginning part of this verse, every single day. Just name a few animals, pick a little fruit, have a good time, walk with God, talk with God, fellowship with God. This is how it was supposed to be ever since Genesis 2:2, when God said, I'm now going to rest. I'm not going to create anymore. I don't have to deal with any more of that stuff. I'm just going to enjoy. I'm going to fellowship with my creation. His favorite part of his creation being mankind. Everybody with me so far? Yes. So this was supposed to be a permanent thing. This Sabbath was supposed to be permanent. The plan, really, if you think about it, the plan was for earth to be just like heaven. Just like heaven. In fact, you know, the Bible calls heaven God's throne and earth his footstool. It's a part of the throne. It's part of the whole deal. God's plan was basically there's no difference between heaven and earth. No difference between heaven and the garden. That's why the garden is oftentimes called paradise. Because it was. It was. It was a place that didn't involve all the things that we think of now. And so this Sabbath that God instituted after he created the earth was supposed to be, that's it. It's supposed to be just like that for all of time. Now, let me just take a little time out here and remind you, that is still what God wants. And did you know that someday God's going to have that? Mm-hmm. We're going to see that at the end of the lesson. It will come back to that, just like God intended it to be. What is a shame is that there's going to be a time gap in there where there was something else that had to take place. Because here's what happened. You know, we had Adam and Eve, when they sinned, sin killed that first Sabbath. Sin ended the peace of that first Sabbath. God created the world. He instituted a permanent peace, a permanent rest, a permanent fellowship with mankind. But before man got very far into it, sin killed that. Now something else has to happen. See, now we can't have this Sabbath anymore. In fact, there wouldn't be another Sabbath for 2,000 years. Think about it. There wouldn't be another Sabbath until Leviticus 23. Because now there's going to have to be something else. There's going to have to be a plan of redemption. There's going to have to be a plan of redemption. And this is where redemption's complicated story begins then. Because God had to now put in place a plan of redemption, we're scratching our heads wondering why it had to be so complex. But from Genesis chapter 3, we watch as it unfolds. We watch as we go through this period of time. There's a flood. There's a Tower of Babel. There's this man named Abraham that God calls and says, you know what, I'm gonna make a great nation out of him, and it's going to be through this nation that I'm going to bring about the answer. I'm going to bring about the fix. I'm going to bring the Sabbath back. Only I'm going to bring it back as it was originally intended, but it's not going to happen for a while. See, everything we read about in the Old Testament then is all, it's all about that. The kings, the prophets, they're all pointing to the Messiah. So here's the question then. So we know that God came to Moses, and he said, he gave them that Leviticus chapter 23 verse instituting the Sabbath. So what happened to the Sabbath then? So when man sinned, now there has to be a plan for redemption. What happened to that original Sabbath that God instituted? Ready? It became a weekly observance. What was it supposed to be? It was supposed to be permanent. It was supposed to be the norm. It was supposed to be the way it is. Everybody, it was not even supposed to be, it was supposed to be like a fish sees water. Do you know if there's one thing fish know nothing about, it's water? Right? Think about it. That's how the Sabbath, it was supposed to just be. It's just what it is. This is life. Life was supposed to be fellowshipping with God. Everybody. All the time. That's how it's supposed to be. Just like in the Garden of Eden. But man sinned. A plan of redemption had to be made. And now, in order for God to help mankind understand and look forward to the Sabbath again someday, he had to give them a weekly reminder of what it was supposed to be like. It's kind of like this. We celebrate wedding anniversaries, right? Why? To remind us of what we did, yeah. Kind of a special, does it make you any more married?
No.
No. It's supposed to just sort of remind us of where we've been and how grateful we should be and all that kind of stuff. So we have days like this set aside. God said, I'm going to give you a weekly day, a weekly time where you are supposed to do exactly what you were supposed to be doing all along every day, but now you can't because now you have to work. You remember the story, right? What happened after Adam and Eve sinned? Why couldn't there be a Sabbath anymore? Because they had to work. Do you remember the judgment that came to Adam? He said, that ground's not going to produce for you anymore like it does. You're going to have to work for it. By the sweat of your brow, you're going to have to eat. So he said, now you have to work 6 days. Oh, I wonder what would happen to the world. We can't even get people to work 3 days. He said, you're going to have to work 6 days. But on that seventh day, you're to do nothing but fellowship with me so that you remember what I wanted it to be like all the time. And you know, it would be good for all of us to take a day like that, huh? Wouldn't it be great? You know, okay, you know, and you're right, Sherry. You think the same way I do. Boy, that'd be nice if I could do that. Why can't we do that? Why can't we do that? The fact of the matter is, no matter how busy we think we are, no matter how busy we think we are, we could do that. We could do that. We could set aside, yeah, if we wanted to. So God knew our nature. God knew that people wouldn't do it unless they were made to do it. So he put it into the law in Leviticus 23. He said, I'm going to make it a part of the law. And that's what he did. So this is what we need to understand. So those Sabbaths, all through the Old Testament, you know, every Friday night and into Saturday and even today, there are even parts of the Christian world that observe Sabbath. The Hispanic church that meets in our building every Saturday, they're called Seventh-day Adventists. They meet only on Saturday because they still believe that they ought to honor the Sabbath. You know what? And I'm cool with that. Are you okay with that? I mean, is there anywhere in Scripture where it says we have to have church on Sunday?
No.
And are we not allowed to have it any other day? No, of course not. There's nothing to say. Look, we're supposed to be, God's plan was for us to fellowship with him, set aside time every day. But we don't do it. We choose to set aside, much of Christianity sets aside Sunday, right? And I think God's okay with that, as long as there is a time set aside. But that's also why we ought to be in church on Sunday.
Amen.
Or Saturday. Or Friday or sometime. So, all right, so here we go. So this temporary thing though, this Sabbath, beginning in Leviticus 23 and forward, those are all just temporary Sabbaths. They're not the real deal. They're not the real thing. The real thing was the first one God did that was supposed to be every single day forever. And that will come back someday. But so the next time, now, God actually in Scripture, though, he made some offers to reinstate that a couple of times. Can I share with you where he first offered it, when he offered it next? Well, if we go forward a couple of thousand years, we find the Jews are in the wilderness. God has delivered them from Egypt. By the way, the time in Egypt, it was all a part of God's redemption plan. It's all part of that complex plan. They come out of Egypt. They go through the wilderness. They get to the precipice of, what do we call it? The promised land. The promised land. Can anybody remind me of how is the promised land described? A land that flows with, doesn't that sound like the land sort of just provides everything without you having to do much work? Doesn't that sound a lot like the description of the garden? God said, there it is. I'd like to reinstate that where all you have to do is take the land, live off the land, it will provide for you, and you can spend your time fellowshipping with me. This was the offer. Let me show it to you in Scripture. We actually find that rehearsed to the people many thousands of years later in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 17. Watch this. So the writer of the book of Hebrews, I personally believe this to be James, the half-brother of Jesus, who wrote this, but there's different people out there believe different things. But here's what he wrote. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? What's the answer to that? Israel, right? 40 years in the wilderness. Why did they have to spend 40 years in the wilderness?
The generation had to die off.
Yeah, that generation had to die off. Why? What did they not do? He brought them to the edge of the promised land and he said, go take it. What did they do? They sent 12 men in and they said, go spy out the land. Those 12 men came back. We're going to look at this story later on. They came back and 10 of them said, whoa, we can't take this land. People are too strong, too big, too powerful. And they all listened to him and God said, okay, you did not. I offered you a land of rest. You rejected it. You can just wander around for 40 years. That's what they did. That's the story. So let's continue this verse. Again, thousands of years later. I'm sorry, can you go back? So with whom was he grieved 40 years? All those people who said we can't take it. Was it not them that had sinned whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Kind of a graphic verse. Verse 18. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his what?
Rest.
He said, you're not going to enter into that rest because you have chosen to listen to these 10 non-believers instead of listening to me, but unto them that believe not. Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. All right, so here's what we had. The next time after the original Sabbath, God offered it again was when the people of God stood on the precipice of the promised land. They didn't know they were standing on the precipice of reinstituting the Sabbath. The real one, the permanent one, the one where they could spend their time fellowshipping with God instead of working like dogs. All right, here we go, next. So when's the next time? Well, the next time occurred in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Jesus came and began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, I'd like to bring heaven back. I'd like to bring heaven right down here, right now. All you got to do is repent. Come back to me. And once again, he would have reinstituted that Sabbath. Now, is that kind of depressing?
Yes.
It's depressing that they missed it, right?
Yeah. Twice.
Twice. Yeah, twice. But here's the thing. The Sabbath with all the holy feasts and all that stuff. Let me give you this. The next one, by the way, hasn't happened yet, but it is described. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, last verse for tonight. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Watch, verse 9. There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. In other words, he said, I've got one more. I've got one more and it's coming. Does anybody know what we call that? The millennial reign of Christ. That millennial, the messianic age. When Jesus will come and for 1,000 years, he will reign as king on this earth. Once again, it'll be just like that Sabbath God originally planned. And from there forward, it's the eternal age. Does it make sense? Isn't it an amazing thing? This long, complicated story, that was the overview. We're going to get there. Now, what we're going to be studying in the next few weeks, every single one of those holy days, all those feasts he talked about, they were all kind of little places on a... Have you ever taken a long trip? You know, like in a family truckster kind of thing, you know, driving to California, kids in the back of the station wagon looking out the back. Remember that kind of thing? So all along the way, what happens? You got to stop places, right? You go see the biggest ball of yarn, that whole thing, right? You know, watch Vacation. Watch Chevy Chase and Vacation. You'll understand what I'm talking about. Look, the Bible, don't shake your head at me. The Bible tells us all these stops along the way, but they're all just simply locations or places of interest. But they're all pointing to the same thing. That's what we're talking about here. They're all pointing to the reinstatement of that original Sabbath, that time of rest, time of peace, walking with God. And I don't know about you, I'm ready to have a new body and get rid of some of the junk of this life. Yes? All right, I'll see you Sunday, hopefully. You take care of yourselves. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here tonight.